another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, live from Wildcast Studios, with your hosts, Adam Lund, Chris Thompson, and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back, Moncton, to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, presented by Roads to Sea Tour, your unofficial voice of all things Moncton Wildcats, mixed in with some humor and a little bit of QMJHL. Here we go, Boucher. And Chris! Chris is here! Chris is back! Guys, three episodes left.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be back. Yeah, unfortunately, I've been a little preoccupied with...
Do tell.
Children. They're actually upstairs right now being watched by Adam's rabbit and cat.
That's it. Nobody else.
Nobody else. Figure they got it.
Yeah.
No, this has been exciting, guys. I've been watching and listening to what you guys have been up to. Obviously, you guys had a great trip to Quebec last weekend. I'm sure Adam's going to get into a little bit later on. I really enjoyed the coverage you guys had. It was good to see all the love support. Super excited with what took place out of that whole weekend for the Moncton Wildcats for next season. Either way, pumped me back.
Well, I'm still feeling a little bit of the effects of that weekend. I mean, I'm waking up with like a sore back every morning, and I don't know if it's just the
stress of carrying the show. I get it.
No, not even that. Just, you know, not used to climbing up hills and, you know.
settle down, Kawhi Leonard. Settle down.
Jeez. Not used to, you know, all those put-ins and knocking the pounds off right now.
For the record, congrats. I know it's been said socially here, but congratulations to everybody who nailed the over. Although, that's like asking if water is wet.
It's probably a pretty easy one. I might try to up the ante next year, depending on...
depending where it is.
Yeah, if it's in the Maritimes, maybe I'll go for like Donairs or something.
That would not be good.
I mean, if it's in Halifax, we'll go for Donairs.
Right.
I don't know what else is like. What's Cape Breton famous for in terms of food? Who knows?
Food, right. Yeah. Okay.
So give the listeners who weren't paying attention, you went five poutines. Which one was the best?
Oh, definitely the one that the wife and I got from Chez Gaston, which is only, you know, footsteps from our Airbnb, which is pretty convenient.
In which condition? Because that one you gave a 9.7.
Well, that was just, that was just a full-on heart attack and bowl. I mean, it was like steak and hot dogs and sausages and fried onions and then cheese. Gravy and you know, fries, and it was just it was a monstrosity, and I finished it. I was quite impressed with myself, and I slept great that night too. So but you know, the stop at the bathroom the next morning was pretty extended, if you want to call it that. So I'm not used to, you know, being in there for 15 plus minutes.
Wow, it was kind of a pre-hangover food. Like, it was able to soak up some of that cider, you would say, after your 2-liter bottle during the...
Yeah, that was, I probably had 3 liters of that hard apple cider Friday night, and then...
Friday in total.
Friday in total. But you know what I did do is, that first drink that I had, with the, I mixed the peach mango 5-hour energy drink in with the hard apple cider. That was actually very good. So I'm going to likely... attempt that again.
Ask you this. I mean, somebody, I like hard cider. I think cider is delicious. In doses,
by doses, do you mean 2-liter bottles?
No. this is what I'm asking. Like, is this your go-to at home? Like, do you drink this here?
Yeah, like this hard apple cider that I found at Superstore, BC Crop, whatever it is, hard apple cider, $13.49 in the fridge. As soon as you walk through the main doors, or, you know, where the florist is, there's a fridge. They used to have all the wine in there, but right now it's just 2-liter bottles of hard apple cider. And
like, everybody, you should see it. Like, he was sending photos of shelves and cases of this hard cider.
I can't go wrong with it. Like, it's I've always liked hard apple cider, like the Angry Orchard.
Right.
I think it's friggin' delicious. But this stuff is so much cheaper, and I think so much better than Angry Orchard. I just don't think I can... Like, I just don't see a reason for me to ever go to the liquor store again when I could just go to Superstore and buy this, you know, $15 bottle of...
Which reminds me, now they made that announcement that coming up, there'll be certain grocery stores selling beer.
Yeah.
Like, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's about time.
Like, welcome to Quebec. Yeah, you know...
We'll never be that lucky. We'll never get Quebec beer pricing.
But when we get in gas stations? in towns. Like there are when you go to like little smaller towns where there is no liquor store, but yeah.
Shediac is a full on brand new liquor. They still sell it.
Yeah. So we had like an Ultramar walking distance from us that had beer. I don't think we'll get that in Moncton, right?
Well, if you live in Shediac, like I said, there's one in the Irving.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Right. So let's say, but yeah, it's weird. But again, that's part of the beach territory. It's super close to the beach. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, just know that your antics with your hard apple cider, and it kept me engaged all weekend.
You know, I do it for the fans, right? The fans have to you know enjoy what we're
which is pretty dope too, boys. You took your better halves with you on this trip too, which was really cool to see.
We have to thank them big time for sitting in the arena. And...
First of all, pump the brakes. I think you need to thank me because the fact I didn't go means they got to go.
Yeah, probably.
And we almost tried to. We tried to pull that MacGyver, see if your wives would stay home with my wife and watch the kids.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. I'm just teasing.
No, Jeremy got in the car Friday morning and said, I have this feeling the Dobsons are going to show up. He honestly thought you were going to...
Oh, I know, but I was getting messages like, so I'm pretty convinced you're still coming.
Really?
I'm not coming. Although I will say this, and this is not a lie, I did look at flights first thing Saturday morning. And I did talk to Tom. I just said, I was like, look, what if I fly up and then fly back tonight? I was like, I just want to be there for the draft. Because we had points. I could have done it.
Yeah.
But it was a hard no. She was like, you're an idiot. Anyways.
We have twins now. We have twins, which what is it like? New dad, all that stuff. Before we get to the Boucher stole.
Okay, so I will say this, and just because obviously I'm not one, I'm never going to be that guy to brag about my kids yet until they get drafted. But I'll say this. So the first week and a couple days after the kids were born, they separated us, of course, was going to the hospital. I went home by myself with my son. Guy who's never done this in his entire life, all of a sudden is boom, sitting middle squat in the middle of the couch during a Memorial Cup run, single dad with a kid. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this is sorry for the language, listeners, I apologize, but this is literally what was going through my mind. If it wasn't for the fact that I had the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Memorial Cup run, and the NBA playoffs happening at the same time, Beckett and I sat down and we watched anything there was to watch. And I'm like, this is your life now, pal. This is what we do. But once Tom and Kennedy got home, the routines just kind of flew into place. You know, cook us a couple nights to get used to it. Knock on wood, they sleep really well.
That was the next question coming.
We're very blessed. I mean, there's no real screaming. I think we've had two real bad nights. And I'm going to say something really serious for a second. And I want to give a huge shout out to all of the nurses and medical staff at the George Dumont Hospital. Because as everybody knows, my little girl had some complications. Where there was a few moments that she quit breathing night after night after night, and she was basically resuscitated. She was just born really small. I mean, at the end of the day, they were born 4 weeks early. And one of the nurses pulled me aside, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name right. Isabel was her name. And she said to me, she's like, I'm going to give you some advice right now, especially because we got released early. She said, there's going to be times when you're literally going to want to pick up your kid and throw it out a window. She's like, you need to understand that's normal. She goes, what you need to be even better at is when that happens, it's okay to put your kid down. It's okay to let your kid scream. It's okay to walk away. Make sure there's nothing that could cause the kid to choke, but walk away from the situation. And there was one night when I was by myself, and I remember it like it was yesterday, and he was wailing, and I didn't know why. And I just wasn't used to it. The dog, as soon as the kid starts to scream, both dogs were looking at me like, okay, Dad, what the hell is going on? Why did you bring this home? And it got to a point where you always hear the slogan, and it's, you know, it's a real medical thing, but they always say, don't shake the baby.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
an actual, I mean, you guys are both parents.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been there. I mean, it's a real concern. But had the nurses not mentally prepared me to deal with that, I can definitely see why people are concerned about this stuff. So anyways, my hat goes off to them. But that being said, everybody's home. Everyone's under the same roof. Everyone's under your roof right now.
Yes.
But yeah, it's so surreal. Being a dad is one of the craziest things in the world. And I understand right now they're little, they're vegetables, they don't do anything. But when you're holding your kids and they just, these milestones, and I mean, when he actually looks up and makes eye contact with you or grabs your finger.
Grabbing the finger is the one.
Man, like, it gets me right in the feels.
Yes. All right, keeping up with the Bouchers?
Yeah, so there's, nothing really to report. I mean, yesterday, she did punch me in the nuts for no reason at all. I mean, just...
What I don't understand is the fact that she's here. Why isn't she on a microphone right now?
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good show. I think she'd probably attract some new fans, but...
Or get us kicked off the internet. One of the two. Yeah,
literally, I was just... You know, I was in the kitchen just standing there, I think I was texting somebody, and next thing I know, she's, you know, full fist right to the groin, and it hurt. Like, I let her go, oh!
Of course it did!
Oh! And, you know, that next thing Megan says is, Avery, cool. Don't do that if you want a little brother or sister. And, yeah, she hasn't done it since, so pretty happy with that.
That's awesome. All right, last week's show, are you able to
clean it up?
Honestly, I wasn't even prepared for that.
I'm just wondering.
I can't even remember if there was anything. I wasn't notified of anything.
Oh, from last week's show?
Yeah.
Not the
roundtable one.
Oh, I was going to say, because I can tell you right now, man, there's nothing but drunk and sloppy nonsense there running in. No, I listened. Everything sounded good.
Yeah, I can't. Nothing's really...
Other than you guys' predictions on who was going to get drafted where.
Mock draft is a huge cleaning up right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're probably going to get into that here shortly. But
we are.
I started that off terribly by thinking St. John was going to take Why Not. I guess it was just an off-the-board pick. And, you know, just with all the rumors and stuff like that, I thought it was going to happen, knowing that his family is as close to the McCains. And it was a ballsy prediction. Didn't work out, but I kind of made up for it on our Instagram Live at the Saturday morning at the draft.
Yeah. You crushed it.
Yeah, I went 5 for 5 right off the bat, so I was pretty happy with that.
So the quick question, going back to the weekend, just your overall draft thoughts, any major surprises, or what did you think of the Videotron Center?
I thought the Videotron Center was amazing. Wow, what a beautiful building. You know, it's
sold beer at 9 o'clock.
Sold beer at 9 a.m. Yeah. Thank goodness.
That's Quebec, though.
Yeah.
That's Quebec.
You know what? It was funny. They sold beer at 9 a.m., but they weren't selling hot dogs at 9 a.m. So,
yeah.
Amen to that. That was pretty awesome. It's like, all right, you can have a beer for breakfast. You can't have a hot dog. Fair enough.
That's because hot dogs aren't good for you, bro.
Well, you know, throw some Fruit Loops on top of a hot dog. It's pretty good for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, Fruit Loops and a hot dog and some Fruit Loops, and then put it in a bun, and then a little maple syrup on top. That's breakfast.
What the hell is
slice of slice of bacon? Mm-mm-mm. Good enough to slap your mama. Anyway, so Videotron Center, amazing venue. Definitely, it's so big inside. It's, you know, we're talking to Pat McNeil, and he was telling us where he calls the games when he's there, and it's, I swear to God, it's like 50 stories up.
Yeah,
like it's unbelievable. I thought the draft setup itself was, I wasn't a big fan of that. You know, the fans who actually went to the draft had to sit like miles away from the stage.
Kind of behind the net.
Yeah, behind the net.
Like farthest away from the stage.
The stage is at the other end of the ice kind of thing. Wasn't happy with that. Any, you know, past draft experiences I've been to, I've been able to, you know, sit along the, you know, the sides and literally just be, you know, face to face with the Wildcats table. And, you know, that's what I would prefer to have, but I understand that, you know, those seats were reserved for the Rampart season ticket holders and, you know, the top prospects and that. I mean, I get that, but it should be
rightfully so.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I mean,
it should be a free for all like it's been, but you know, other than that, the city of Quebec is beautiful. I've never been there before.
Okay.
It was my first time. So just seeing like the Chateau Frontenac and, you know, the hills that literally made my quads, you know, look like I'm a freakazoid.
We did the first one and he stops jokingly. He's like, guys, just give me a second. Just like trying to be joking. I'm like, I don't think he's joking because I'm just about dead.
Like going up that one hill, that's the first time my wife ever looked at me and said, damn, your legs look fine. Like, you know, it's...
But you know what? That probably helped with all the poutines you consumed.
That's
it
right.
Did.
Right?
It did, yeah.
It
sucks, but it's
literally
true.
Every morning I didn't wake up feeling like garbage because I think I've walked it all off.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
So that was fun. Just what a beautiful city. Like we had a great spot too where we were staying. You know, 2-bedroom apartment, had our own rooms. Forgot to log myself out of the Netflix at the Airbnb, so someone's probably like, you know, fraudulently losing my account.
Could just change your password.
Yeah, yeah, probably have to do that.
We figured that out about Fredericton.
Yeah.
on the way home.
Yeah. So I don't think I've done that yet.
But
so.
Let's be real. What's the worst thing they're going to do?
Yeah.
Screw up your queue list? Because
they can't change my password without knowing my password.
No, correct. No, you're fine.
And they can't upgrade more TVs and charge you more without knowing your password. Yeah. So
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, being at the first draft, it was very cool spectacle. I thought the second round would have the players getting the jerseys. I didn't know it would go bang, 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 bang. Because all the drafts you watch on, well, maybe not the NHL, but the NFL one, the second round gets the jerseys every now and then. I thought that would be one and two would get it, and then the rest would go. But it was pick after pick, and it was pretty cool. I was surprised at how many people were there, honestly.
Yeah, that was a huge crowd. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
They do it right, and, you know, compared to the other leagues... You know, Courteau said he wants to make a first impression, and that is a first impression for all those kids.
So, like, when I was watching one of the TVA interviews with the commissioner, and that was one of the things that got brought up, of course, is why is the QMJHL draft so important? And he just, like, he's absolutely right. He's like, this is as professional as it's going to get. He's like, we need these kids to feel like, you know, and they start talking about, like, we're going to make your kids better, make them become men, and, you know, like... At the end of the day, there's nothing making a kid feel like $1 million than actually walking on stage, grabbing a jersey in front of all the lights, your fans, all the GMs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many 15, 16-year-old kids do you know can stand on a stage, shake hands with Robert Irving? And, you know what I mean? Like, that's impressive. That's huge.
Yeah.
And you could tell some of those kids are nervous. I mean, Joshua Wall went up there and put the hat on first before the jersey. I mean,
he was nervous because the night before they were saying he wasn't even going to show up. So.
Yeah, and we made mentions of that, too, on the podcast on Friday night, and even before we started recording the podcast on Friday night, the guys from St. John were saying that they literally saw Joshua Law walk by their hotel room a mere 10 minutes before we showed up. So us talking about him on the show, he could have been walking right by and hearing us. So, you know, it's,
You're the reason he's decided to report.
Probably. Yeah.
Hearing you talking shit. He was like, I'm going to push. He's like, I got to make Boucher look bad.
Yeah. But no, it's, overall, probably the funniest moment was when La Lancet goes to interview Israel Manscom and starts talking French to him. He's like, I speak English.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. And then, of course, my obvious roar when the Wildcats were announced as to make their third round pick.
The sound heard across the nation.
I do it for the fun. I mean, I did that in Charlottetown, too. And,
oh, we recall.
Yeah.
We recall.
And, get some laughs from the crowd. That's all it's for.
Weren't you there in St. John, too?
I was in St. John, but I was kind of on my best behavior.
Okay, somebody was making noise when Pelche got drafted. I'm pretty sure I called you out for it.
Probably one of his 100 family members up there.
I remember looking at the Wildcat section, and I'm almost positive I told the guys that. I might even have said it on camera, and I was like, oh, it's Jeremy Boucher making noise.
Well, I was cheering, because Mr. Irving said his team name before Pelche's name, and that's when I started, you know, cheering because I knew that we were taking Pelche. So yeah, I was kind of celebrating before his name was announced, if that's kind of what you meant. But
either way, it was exciting.
Yeah.
So let's get to the activities of the weekend. Before we do that, quickly, shout out to Jamie Tozer, Aiden Northcutt, Brian McPherson, and Pat McNeil for joining us on the first annual Maritime Division Roundtable podcast. So early Friday night, Adam Capanelli was dealt to the Armada for a 2020 second rounder. Sucks to lose him, but that's literally just a numbers game, right?
It is.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And we're getting the pick back that we sent to Blainville for Shiguer. When that deal was made originally, a lot of people were saying that it was gross overpayment. But we're getting that pick back. So essentially it's Shiguer for...
What else was included? So it was Shiguer, and then Antalani came over with, a third-round pick on top of that?
Third-round pick. Yeah.
Victoriaville's third.
That's what everybody thought was it was going to be the pick going back for Antalani.
Well, that's what I thought it was going to be. I thought Moncton was going to be the third round. So when I saw the upgraded pick back to a second round, I'm like, that's great value.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mind you, it's not what we paid for Adam Capanelli, but we'll take it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's rumors and rumblings Friday, but nothing was official until Saturday. And if you follow this show, we mentioned this guy, but there was no chance he was coming here. Maybe because we all thought he was 20, and we thought he was 20 Saturday, but Olivier Rodrigue was acquired by the Moncton Wildcats for a 2019 second, a 2020 first, and a 2021 conditional pick. Jeremy, what was the conditions?
I could be wrong, but I'm assuming the condition is that, if Rodrigue plays pro as a 20-year-old, which I'm assuming he will because he's got that contract from
Edmonton,
right.
We would get that pick back.
Right.
So, but if for some odd reason he's still playing with the Wildcats in, you know, not 2020-2021, then Drummondville would then keep that pick.
So when we brought it up, you said there was no chance he's coming here.
And I'll tell you what.
And none of us thought it. But is this them going all in?
I hope not. And I mean, I want them to, but at this point, if this was the only move that was made, we're not there. We're not prepared. We're not ready for this. Now, if for some reason with the way this team is looking, this is something that, and I'm going to go back to having Rodrigue show up as a 20-year-old as well. Like, if your plan is to have Rodrigue come back as a 20-year-old, and that's the year you're looking to win, I'm okay with it. But to go back to your first point saying when we talked about, because I was like, yeah, he's available, but we'll never grab him.
Right.
It's because I thought it was going to at least cost, for a guy like Olivier Rodrigue, it was going to cost that third overall pick, and I wasn't willing to see that go.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a product of the Mem Cup now being in Kelowna? The price? Because Bebo was going for a third and a fifth, and, you know, there wasn't a...
Right.
Is that maybe why the...
Maybe, but you can't... And I like Bebo, but you can't put Olivier Rodrigue and Bebo in the same...
No.
They're not even in the same category.
No.
Olivier Rodrigue, in my opinion, is the best goaltender in the league.
The what?
I think Olivier Rodrigue is the best goaltender in the league.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that we got him for what we got him for is a steal.
It's a very, very good deal.
Yeah. Like, Richie and John crushed this.
I expected it to be... And I mentioned this Friday night because I was, you know, inebriated. I said...
What?
Yeah. I said, if we still had another particular general manager in town running this team...
Would you give it up two firsts and a second for that pick?
Probably would have been two firsts and two seconds and probably a fifth round pick.
Jacob Pelche at the draft.
Yeah, exactly. There would have been, like, tons of conditions and stuff like that. But, I mean, this is a super good deal. You know, we for one of the best goalies in the league, we'll probably represent Canada at the World Juniors.
Yep.
This is a very good deal for Moncton.
So I look at it from this perspective, and that is, you know what else this is going to help? If this doesn't help Charles-Antoine Lavallée more than anything you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. So they even, you know, talking to some people within the organization, and I was reading some of Neil's articles after the draft, and that was, the plan is to still have Lavs play a ton of games this year. Like, it's looking to go, you know, obviously Rodrigue is now your starting goaltender, but you need to share that workload, and to be able to work under a guy like LeClaire for a season, then go to Rodrigue for a season.
It doesn't get better for
him. And you're right. So, but the big question mark comes in is, you know, next year is his 18. Not this year, but next year is his 18.
Yeah.
So what happens then if Rodrigue's back as a 20-year-old and that's the year Moncton's looking at? Could we trade Lavallée? What's his value? Because that's his draft year.
Right? I think it all depends on his, what he put. I'm thinking it's 40 for Rodrigue and 28 for Lavallée.
Which I'm fine with. It's basically 40-30. Yeah.
And I think if he was to conservatively go 20-8, we're not, like, I don't think you move him the next year because those two have the rapport. And it was literally one of the questions.
But it's not about his question. As his draft year, if you don't think that there's a good chance he'll ask for a move if he's not the starting goaltender, we've seen it here before. Mm-hmm, if you go back when Louis Domingue was here, and Louis Domingue comes back in because Nick Riopelle was the starting goaltender, I'm sure what the static is, folks, I apologize.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, that was supposed to be Louis Domingue's draft year, and Riopelle comes back, and at that point, he was just like, look, man, this is my draft year. You've got to deal me. I need to get some playing time. He gets dealt to Quebec.
That's fair.
Right? So if this Lavallée's draft year, after back-to-back years of being a backup, ready to take the load, again, this is all pure speculation.
Yeah.
2 years from now that Rodrigue's still in the league, but if that's the case, you got to think that he'll be on the move.
Because that would be the all-in year, right?
I would think. Because
that was one of the first questions on when they announced the trade on Facebook, when the Wildcats did on Facebook. Well, what happens to Lavallée now? Nothing. He learns from one of the best French goaltenders in the league.
Period.
Like, this is nothing but a good thing for him.
It's amazing. And I'll bet you if you were to talk to him, he's just as excited about this.
Yeah.
No. Again, talk to me in 2 years from now when we're in this situation. That might be different. But this year is a huge rebound year for him. He did great things as a 16-year-old. He was being hyped up in the media, like the national media, when the season started, already proposing him as to how he's going to be a high draft pick during his draft year because, you know, he's a prospect. He's going to be a great pick. And then whatever happened after Christmas and LeClaire stole the show and ran away with it for months.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, this is a great thing. This is a great problem for Moncton to have. And
if there's a kid that can handle it,
oh my
we've
goodness.
Seen it's going to be allowed.
Without a question.
Right?
Without a question. I am so excited for this. And on a brighter note, I joked around with you guys, I mean, especially with you because you're an Oilers fan, Adam. our blue line to me still could use a little bit of a tweak. We could use an upgrade of some sort. Because if we don't do anything, I mean, I like our blue line, but I don't think we're not three lines deep on the blue line right now that I would be comfortable with. Otherwise, I think Rodriguez is going to face a lot of rubber this year. Will prepare him to be an Oiler.
Yeah. The only difference is he's going to win, hopefully, here as opposed to in Edmonton.
And he will. But again, you got a full season with John Torchetti now. You know what the guys are going to expect. Yeah. Guys are going to block shots in front of him. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious to see how this team is going to look this year.
When is the next trading period? Because I asked you on the way home. It's closed now, right?
It is closed, yeah. It would be in training camp. Because that's when Moncton, made the deal for Anderson McDonald a couple years ago, is at training camp. So yeah, there won't be any moves until that time.
Like the August 1st, first of August, or the day the training camps open across the league.
I don't know the exact date, but
roughly around training camp kind of thing.
It's in that area. Yeah, I think it goes until I don't know the exact dates. I just know it's when training camp during training camp.
So how come they don't keep it open during the summer to? Wouldn't that accentuate and get more deals going, or is it just kind of let kids enjoy the summer?
Exactly, right? Let the kids enjoy the summer. Don't stress about anything. And the same thing for the GMs. GMs are still going to call each other, but to talk deals. But give them a break a little bit.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Just get back down to business in mid August.
Business.
The biznatch.
All right. So yeah, you mentioned our mock draft a little earlier. We went 3.5 out of 18.
Close.
Yeah. We got Justin Robidoux at 2 correct. Olivia Nadeau at 5 correct. Olivia Boutin de Gatineau at 13 correct. And we got Jeremy Langlois spot correct, but Victoria was not picking 17th overall. So that's the half. We technically we got 4, but it was just not good.
I think 3 out of those 4 picks were mine.
Yeah, they were.
Yes.
The only one I got The only one I got right was Robidoux, but yeah. I mean, you know more than I do.
I'm pretty sure my newly born son had Robidoux.
You don't know.
Don't brag about
you
that
don't
one.
Know.
Don't brag about that one.
Let me brag about little
don't
things.
Don't brag about that one.
First round. Any shocks, surprises?
A couple. I was blown away when Valdor took Evan Nass. There is 110% no chance he reports there. I'm not going to bet like my family on it, but I'm telling you right now, he will not report there. And also, Chicoutimi going for Oscar Plandowski is just another shock for me. I mean, I understand the concept of taking the best player available, but.
But why would you not? I mean, see, the Chicoutimi one doesn't bother me. It's the last pick in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is why? Like, there has to be a conversation happening somewhere that even makes you believe there's a small inkling you can get this kid to report. And I can tell you right now, you're absolutely right that when Evan Nass was drafted, unless I'm completely out in left field, there is a 0.006% chance that he reports there.
I would even say it's more slim than that.
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
right.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
is that a pick to trade later on?
They could easily turn it in. I mean, somebody can.
To a team he's going to report to?
Yeah. But if he doesn't report, then, I mean.
They go back in the draft.
Right. They go back in the draft next year, and, Valdor gets their compensation pick. For all I know, there was only two teams that Plandowski was going to report to, Moncton and Halifax. It remains to be seen if Moncton was going to use a second round pick on him or not.
So here's a question now. If for some strange odd reason there was a conversation happening behind the scenes, I mean, I understood, but what kind of deal would have been required for Moncton to pull off that deal with Chicoutimi to get Plandowski at that point? Like, what would it cost?
What would it cost right now?
Yep.
Oh, geez, probably at least a first rounder and.
Which we don't have until 2022.
2021?
No, because that's conditional.
No, it's
the second. Second.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so
2021. I mean, obviously, they'd probably want at least a first-round pick and then probably a couple seconds.
Right.
Because that's what Plandowski is valued at. So, at this point, it's not something I'm willing to
No, pick. Nor should you. But I was just curious because I was like, you look at these kids are saying, we'll report one of two places, which, again, is a whole other fiasco for me. I think that's absolute garbage. I hate when kids pull a stunt. And that whole stuff that was going on with the commissioner, I know it rattled a lot of chains. It definitely got the attention when Gilles Courteau was like, maybe we're going to start looking at coming up with a rule where if you commit NCAA, you're never welcome to play in the QMJHL.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with that. It would suck, and I know I know a lot of people have an issue with it, but you know what that stops? That stops your Charlie Coyles of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That stops, like, oh, you know what? Oh, my grades suck. I'm getting kicked out of college. I'm going to take my talents up to where I can be, win a championship.
So that would have stopped the Shane Bowers being traded issue.
Wholeheartedly.
Because they would try to...
Well,
I guess if you bring him back...
Stopped, it would have stopped the Shane Bowers from being drafted issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he got thrown back in the draft a year later.
So if they can't come back, if that was made and they can't come back to the queue, all the teams would have to not put them on a waiver and they go to the OHL?
Well, that's the problem. That's what Gilles Courteau was talking about in his interview, was saying that the other two leagues would have to be on board. Otherwise, it's irrelevant. It doesn't make sense. Because, he'd clear waivers.
Yeah.
Then he'd go play with the London Knights and probably win super titles there. But, yeah, no, it's... I'm so sick and tired of these kids. And the NCAA is a great program. Like, me shitting on the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like it. In fact, more and more every year, it's becoming a better and better product. And for some people, it's a better route to take. Now, that being said, don't use that as a crutch because I don't want to report to Val Dor.
Yeah.
Like, just be thankful, you pissant, and play hockey. Like,
yeah,
let's go.
It's not a draft. It's a free agent. It's feeling free agents like.
Without a question. I mean, this is the biggest day of your life. Now, again, if this is an education thing for you, again, the Q covers education. And maybe we're a little biased when it comes to the QMJHL guys. Let's be real.
Yeah.
But ultimately, rock you like a hurricane. but yeah, no, it's one of those things where, realistically, I just don't know. I don't like it. I hate when kids do it. I mean, we saw the whole situation with Garrett Clark. We joke about it every week for the last couple I've been on.
Yeah.
Like, Garrett Clark's in Cape Breton and comes out from behind the bleachers when Lewiston makes his pick. Like, he's Stone Cold Steve Austin with a Zamboni. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Anyways, but yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I know it would suck for a lot of teams. I don't know.
So, at number three, Moncton stepped up to the plate and took Zach LaRue. Just... their overall draft in general. I mean, Julian Hebert was a steal. You had a 14-round mock, and you had a few, I think, didn't you said?
I had three correct. I had, obviously, LaRue at three. I did have them taking Jonathan DeRosier from the Moncton Flyers, and I did have them taking Nicholas Sheehan from St. John Vito's. So I went, I'm not sure how many total picks that they had, but three for whatever. Not as good as have been done in previous years. You know, Moncton went a little more local this year as they have in the past. And I think that comes back to what Richie said a couple weeks ago, where they want to get players in, affiliate players in each area.
Regions.
Right. So that adds up for, to what he said. So I should have maybe taken that into consideration when I was doing my mock draft, but I'm still pretty pleased with three. There's a couple others who I think are going to, have a chance to make this team, not necessarily next season, but in the years down the road, Nicholas Pavin, who played for Lac Saint-Louis, Charles Antoine Pilote, who played for Charlotte One. And I'm going to go on record here. I know it's early, training camp's 2 months away. The team won't be finalized for probably another 3 months. But our 14th round pick, so our last pick, Philip Thomason, I think his name is.
That is correct.
Mark my words, he might not make the team, but he will challenge for one of the final spots.
Hmm. Okay.
Mark my words.
So he would be the steal of the draft as opposed to Julian Hebert?
Well, I don't know. Look,
he was the steal.
He's going to be a surprise
there. Yeah,
at training camp. Julian Hebert is, he's going to be another player that fans are really going to love over the course of the years. He's really, really feisty in your face kind of guy. So, we started the season with LaVie on the fourth line and, ended up playing in the top two lines. So, he consistently got better throughout the year. Had some power play time with Joshua Waugh and Olivier Nadeau. So, he's got that skill as well. But he could be a top 6 forward, but I think he's more of a middle six guy.
Let me ask you this, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but your favorite pick in the entire first round?
overall
has to be Jacob Melanson. You were pretty fired up, Secret Bank trade up to get Jacob.
I was so I'm so excited for him. He deserves it.
How pumped was the crowd when they made the trade to get up and get him?
And they paid a pretty decent price for him too, and
shows what they value him at.
Yeah, and you know, Jacob Melanson is going to be an absolute superstar in this league. He's going to score some goals. He's going to hurt some people. I'm just a huge fan of Jacob Melanson. I was really hoping Moncton would get him. And I'm hoping, you know, he does eventually down the road wear the Wildcats jersey, because, you know, I'm such a huge fan of the way he plays.
So of the players drafted, would you say it's safe to say LaRue and Hibbert are the two that aren't, not locks, but have the best chance to make this roster?
For next season?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. LaRue, speaks for, he's already made the team. I mean, it's pretty safe to say he has. Hibbert.
Third line center.
LaRue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would put him third line center or third line left wing. You know, I'm a little bit skeptic when it comes to putting 16-year-old rookies at center.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, look at Pelche. He was a natural center as a 16-year-old. Doesn't even play center now. He's playing on the left side. So, that's when you're a center, you have that ability to adapt to other positions much faster than, let's say you were a left winger and you wanted to go play the right side, or, you know, you're a natural left winger and they tell you to go play center.
Yeah.
I would see him more as a left side. He has to play with Hudson. I think those two will really complement each other. So I think you'd probably see LaRue and Hudson on the third line. Hibbert, I think he could challenge for a spot. That fourth line is you're probably going to see, you know, Foreman, Stewart, and Al Shorn as the fourth line. We know what they can bring already. But in typical Moncton fashion, they normally take, 14 forwards. So then you probably have, Hibbert battling with Francis Langlois or Alexandre Parent. That's where you're kind of looking at right now. Plus, there's obviously free agents in the pipeline as well. You never know what they're going to bring to camp. But right now you could probably take a pen and paper and kind of project your lineup based on what we have right now. Obviously, there's still an import draft to do, but... Honestly, right now, if I'm putting together a lineup, the only two open spots at forward would be, the left side on the third line and the right side on the second line,
right.
And the left side on the second defensive pairing. So, there's three open spots, I think, that are up for grabs. So it's be interesting to see who fills them out.
So it wasn't just the draft in Quebec yesterday. It was the American Q draft. 10th overall, we took goaltender Colin Ronan. And 20th overall, we took center Colin Wilson.
That is true. And, Colin Ronan actually reached out to us. And, he's looking forward to listening to our podcast. So welcome to you, Colin, if you're listening. Reading some scouting reports. He's a big athletic goaltender. Coach Torchetti, talked to a few NHL goalie coaches. And they told him that he's got a pretty high upside potential. He's headed to Cushing Academy next season. It's a pretty well-known prep school down in Massachusetts. They produced such NHLers as Connor Sheary and former Wildcats Keith Yandell.
That's a good one.
And Cam Askew as well. So,
also a good one.
Yeah. And Colin's kind of a pro-style two-way player. Apparently one of the top-rated players in his age group in the New England States who's not committed to an NCAA school. So that's it's good that we were able to scoop him up, and he's going to suit up for Dexter Prep.
So these are the kids that will play in the pre-games with the team but won't actually suit up because they'll lose their NCAA?
So they can technically play in the scrimmages.
Yeah, that's what I mean, but they can't play game
yeah,
with...
That's it. They can't play in any exhibition games because then they'll lose their college eligibility. So you'll probably see them, and there's the 48-hour rule too. So if you're keeping your options open, you can stay for 48 hours. And I think there's also a rule that you can stay longer than 48 hours, but it's on your own money.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, depending on what these, you know, these guys want to do, it's, you know, Moncton's a great city, got lots of tourist attractions around, you know, so.
And I don't know if you've heard this or not, Magnetic Hill, dope.
Yeah, and you can actually, to save money, people have actually, some families have actually taken their RVs and parked them in the parking lot of the 4i Center.
Absolutely.
So they're right there, so they're, you know, not spending money on hotels, you know, they just go to grocery stores and buy their groceries, so. You know, that's how some of these, you know, players, you know, stick around for longer than 48 hours.
Just bought a Steph Curry jersey on the internet while we were doing this podcast.
Blue, not, yellow, white?
Blue. Not even a Warriors fan, but I'm doing it just because, just the Avenir Center is finally showing Game 6. Big shout out to them for doing that.
Yeah.
I just like to troll people. This is great. It's beautiful.
And you know what I really wish? I mean, I really wish Moncton, because, St. John is having a development camp this weekend.
Right.
So they get all their prospects that they just drafted last weekend. Some of their guys back from last season. They're having like a, you know, big camp at the Harbor Station this weekend. Yeah, I know, Adam. I knew you, I didn't want to mention that to you because I wanted to see your reaction while we were doing the show.
And that was perfect.
That was planned. I really wish Moncton would do something like that, but you know, it'd be nice to watch some hockey at the end of June, early July.
Sure.
But,
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm actually pretty pumped to be out of the rink for a while. I enjoy this.
That's what some people say too. Is, you know, it's not
everyone deserves a break.
Yeah.
All right, fans know it. They love it.
Eric Murray Realty, buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
So this week's stick tap of the week is of course going to just everybody in Quebec who, you know, we had a chance to interact with. You know, great weekend, beautiful city, like I said earlier, fantastic, you know, nice scenery too. Adam, we were like an hour away from seeing an apartment building up in flames, which was
in Old Town Quebec.
Pretty
was,
crazy.
Yep.
You know, we go for a walk and, you know.
If we'd have been in shape, we might have got up to the top of the hill.
I think
a little bit faster.
If you were to stop for lunch, you know, I think we might have seen that apartment building.
Yeah.
So. We walked around all Friday night, and even though that fire was, you know, it was Friday afternoon, you could still smell like the smoke in the air Friday night. But you know, just anybody who made the weekend possible, you know, the Ramparts for hosting, the City of Quebec for their hospitality. Also, thank you to the Rouen Rouge Huskies again for winning the Memorial Cup. That's probably the biggest stick tap of the week, of the year.
Of the year.
But that's basically it. And obviously, I mentioned it last week, but anybody who stepped up to go and volunteer for, you know, at the Becca Schofield All-World Play Park.
Absolutely amazing.
Man, it's, what did they say? They had 2,500 people come out and volunteer?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like that.
Yeah. That's great for, you know, just shows what our community can do when we get together and, you know, really help out a great family.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with Century 21. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton and surrounding area, make sure to check out his Facebook page or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
All right, let's hang up the skates and get to overtime.
Welcome to Overtime.
All right, as you were talking about, the Avenir Center is showing Game 6 of the Raptors-Warriors. Chris, you've probably seen more of it than Jeremy has, I would think. Thoughts on the series?
What do you mean, Jeremy's the biggest Raptors fan?
He is the biggest Raptors fan.
I love my basketball. I'm such a huge basketball supporter.
All right.
You watched the quarter.
I'm going to go on a rant for a minute. Only because nothing infuriates me more. And I mean absolutely nothing. Than I'm cool with bandwagon fans because this is an exciting time for our country.
Yeah.
I'm excited with, you know, this is a big time. Do I want to see the Raptors win? Yeah, I do. But I am so sick and tired of these bandwagon Raptors fans coming out of the woodworks, talking shit, and like just in my grill about it. Like just, oh my God. Because I just said, you know what? At the end of the day,
nice.
No, it's foolish,
no,
man. Like,
oh my God.
You're playing Golden State. Look, Golden State's a great team.
Yep.
You know, what happened to Kevin Durant was absolutely devastating last night. I was heartbroken for him. In my opinion, best player in the league.
Yeah, over LeBron?
No, absolutely. Now, right. I mean, and I love, and I,
yeah,
me, and I don't like LeBron, but I respect LeBron.
Right.
But overall, there's a reason that Kevin Durant won back-to-back finals MVPs, right? So to have him out of your lineup, okay, great. You still have four or five other secret weapons that should... Now, I'm not taking anything away from the Raptors because defensively, the numbers they're, the numbers that they've shifted on people's... Yeah. It's unbelievable. So my issue with the whole thing is this, and that is you idiot fans out there who know nothing about the Toronto Raptors up until they beat... No, put your hand down because you're not talking trash.
That would be me.
Yeah, but you're excited about it.
Yeah. There's a difference. There's a big difference.
So I remember... literally almost got into a verbal altercation. Like, we were having a conversation with this kid. We were at a local with a local establishment having a frosty beverage. And this kid starts talking shit about how the Raptors are the greatest team in the history of life.
Oh my jeez.
And I was like, pal, look. I was like, all right. What, like, when did you become a Raptors fan? Like, how, you're a, clearly, you're all in. You bleed red. Like, that's...
Got his Kawhi jersey?
Oh, no. This guy even impressed me. Hear me out. So this guy's sitting on a Danny Green jersey. Cool with it. I like Danny Green. I'd be like, do you even know where Danny Green came from? Well, he was drafted by the Raptors.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll say, who was the very first player ever drafted by the Toronto Raptors?
Steven Stoudemire.
Absolutely.
Holy crap, I nailed it.
Stoudemire, but you were close.
Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse, exactly.
You got it right.
So this, you did. You nailed it. High five.
Yes. I love basketball.
So this kid's going on and on. Finally, it's just like, man, just shut your mouth. Like, it's just Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant. And I'm like, okay, Kevin Durant's now, you know, playing 50% with a torn Achilles and still scored 11 points in the first quarter. Shut your mouth and sit down. Go buy me a drink. Anyways, yeah, it's been a great series so far. I think last night was a huge loss for Toronto.
Yep.
I don't think they're going back to Oracle to win. And now Golden State's pissed off. I don't think they're going back. I don't think they win at Oracle Arena. I really don't. If the Raptors have a shot, I think it is going seven games. It's a coin flip. But now you've made the Golden State Warriors angry. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Steph Curry. Watch out, man. Just watch out.
Their best chance to win is in Oracle. If they go to game seven, they're not winning that thing. There'll be so much, there's so much pressure, so much everything. I want the Raptors to win. I'm not a Raptors fan. You know, you follow them because they're Canada's team off and on. I've watched all the playoffs. I watch playoff basketball more than I watch regular basketball. But yeah, there's a difference between the hardcore and the...
Look,
been a Raptors fan for 3 months after the shot.
Look, I love Kawhi Leonard. I've always loved Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
I loved him in San Antonio. He was one of the best... Not even say one-up. He's the best defender in the league. I don't think, bar none, in my opinion, second best player in the league. I think it goes Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James. Those are my three. And then at that point, you got Giannis Antetokounmpo coming up the list. He will soon be one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
Jeremy just looked really confused for a minute.
What?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's the guy you said in our...
Antetokounmpo?
It's close enough, man. I'll give it to you.
That's the guy in our thread. You were like, who's the guy with all the letters in the alphabet on the back of his jersey?
Yeah. John Van Beesbrook. So this takes place. But yeah, no. But the question comes around. Obviously, everyone's talking about Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard. Is Kawhi going to stay in Toronto? Why would he? Why would Kawhi?
Why wouldn't he?
I can give you all sorts of reasons why.
Listen, the
he has nothing left to prove. Go ahead. The
big time basketball fan that I am.
Let's hear it, Stephen A. Smith.
Kawhi Leonard re-signs with Toronto.
A, they can give him the max deal.
Book it.
B, they'll leave him alone. He's already a cult hero. Like they treated him right, and like there was issues with San Antonio. Everybody knows about it, but they've given him what he wants. They can give him the max deal. I think it's more likely Kawhi signs than Durant.
I will take absolutely not on that.
Okay.
Kevin Durant signs in Golden State. He stays in Golden State. He loves Golden State. That everything that just happened in the last 24 hours with what's taken place.
So
with
Durant
management,
stays and Klay is gone?
Kawhi?
Klay.
Klay? One of them's going to... I think Draymond's gone, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
But somebody's going to go. Now, I heard a rumor that Klay Thompson could be on his way to the Lakers. You got to think at some point, everyone keeps talking about LeBron and how nobody wants to play with LeBron.
I think it's nobody wants to play for the Lakers with what's going on in that
front office. Everybody wants to play for the Lakers, bud. It's the Showtime Lakers,
I know,
bud.
But it's the front office tire fire that is coming with the Magic and the buses and the balls and all that crap. I think if
First
LeBron
all,
wasn't
Lonzo
there, they'd have
Ball,
a lot of trouble.
Lonzo
He's turning
Ball.
Into a pretty good ball player.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball's going to be a stud. Now, I think he gets dealt, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
You just got to keep LeVar out of it. But yes, I do think, in my honest opinion, Kawhi Leonard has nothing left to prove in Toronto. He came to Toronto. How great of a hero would he look if he comes to Toronto, wins a title in Toronto, says, You're welcome, Toronto.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Fans won't even be mad
no,
if they go.
No,
they'll be like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, anyways, I 100% agree.
I could do this forever. Let's move on.
If, one more. If Golden State wins, is Kawhi the MVP of the playoffs?
Of the playoffs?
Like, or the finals MVP or whatever with what he's done? Because who do you give it to on the Warriors?
He hasn't, but in my opinion, Kawhi Leonard hasn't, I mean, he's been Kawhi, but he hasn't been that amazing in the finals as he's been for the rest of the postseason.
Right. Because their MVP is just the finals. They don't take everything in.
You'd have to give it to him, though. You'd have to.
Yeah.
I would think he's earned it.
All right. Boucher, your overtime topic you want to talk about?
So my overtime topic, I had it on my phone here.
Is the Google one?
It's going to be a couple ones here. The last thing you Googled is what kills you. So how do you die?
I die from poutine from Chez Gaston when I was trying to update where you had it for our viewers.
And that's actually
as cool. Well as I die wherever the 2020 QMJHL draft is. Those are the last two things I've Googled. So I have a what and a where.
The last two things I've Googled. The last one was actually unicorn horn. The second one was hippopotamus. And I can't, and I'll tell you why. And that is, now that I have a daughter, I'm looking at things like butterflies, unicorns, things along those lines. So I was just checking it out. Anyways, and I was looking at a stencil for the nursery, looking at the, anyways, unicorn horn was the last thing I Googled that technically could kill me. Hippopotamus, just because I think it's dope.
The last thing I Googled is, it was yesterday, and it's when the Liberal Party of Canada announced that they're going to ban single plastics. The woman in the media asked Justin Trudeau, what does your family do to limit plastic? And he just went, I don't even know what he said.
It was the most ridiculous thing.
Well,
and at one point he even said plastic.
Boxed water.
Boxed
is,
with, not the plastic, but
the
well, first he said plastic, and then not plastic.
We have the
boxed
water and the stuff, the drinking stuff water boxes.
Yeah.
And for the record,
so Trudeau's gonna kill you, or
so
plastic?
Justin Trudeau will kill me. Yeah.
But for the record, you've been a pretty big Trudeau supporter.
Look, I'm not gonna label myself as a Trudeau supporter. I have a preference,
right,
of him over other.
I think we're on the
leaders.
Same page here. I want you to understand that I'm not even afraid to admit it. I voted for Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
I don't own a small business. I have a lot of friends who do, and I know that there's some confusion, some complications there. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like you, I'm not a supporter. But what he was doing, I was a believer that he could move our country forward.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Justin Trudeau will kill me. And one last one. A virus has wiped out 99% of the Earth's population. What do you do?
I'm screwed.
Not appropriate for this podcast.
It's actually funny. You guys ever watch that show on Netflix called Last Man in...
100%.
Last Man on the Earth or whatever
it's
called?
No.
Really, really cool. I don't think it's on Netflix anymore, but...
Wait, is that the comedy? Is that the funny one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's the dude and he, like, draws...
What?
He thinks he's
the guy that plays MacGruber, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes, it's him.
Yeah.
It's, MacGruber!
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, great show.
I don't know what I would do. I would probably
barricade myself in a Costco.
Yeah.
I would buy the Moncton Wildcats.
For what purpose?
Just to say?
Just to say I was...
You wouldn't even have to buy them. You could literally walk into the building and probably steal the ownership.
Here's a loony. what would I do?
I'd be screwed. If there's like that or zombie, I'm so dead.
Zombie apocalypse, I'd be good for a bit. Again, which is when I would re-barricade myself at Costco.
Costco or Bass Pro?
Oh, that's true. Now that Bass Pro's here, weapons. They've got food, too. Yeah? Bass Pro.
I mean, Costco down in the States, but because they got guns there. But
Bass Pro.
Bass Pro's the safe bet. Bass Pro's the safe bet.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd be carving out shivs. And it's no good.
And you get the fish to feed, too, so you kind of keep yourself busy. And,
oh, my God.
Fry up the fish,
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, set up shop at a Bass Pro.
Yeah.
All right, we figured it out together.
Perfect.
All right, couple would you rather summer-wise. Would you rather have a mullet or wear a fanny pack?
Why can't we have both?
You could, but which one would you rather have?
Fanny pack's got my Coors Light in it while I rock my mullet with my tank top.
You know what?
A I'd probably take a fanny pack. Just a
regular black one. I'd take the mullet for sure. Really? For sure. 100%.
Yeah. I'm not,
I take the fanny pack because you can put stuff in it.
I don't want to look too much like a tourist. You know, I'm from here.
I mean, if you're going to put a fanny pack on, you might as well grab your Nikon camera and call it a day. Pull out a map.
Would you rather have all your shirts be belly shirts or all your pants are now booty shorts?
I've got a great ass. That's a tough question.
I have a great beer belly. That's a great question.
I've been told I have a great ass, but...
No, you don't.
Thanks.
I looked at it.
It got hot.
Because he couldn't keep up behind the hill.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I'd probably go with the shorts, though, because there's nothing worse than chafing. Nothing.
You'd rather have all your shorts be in booty shorts? Yeah. I think I'd probably...
I don't know. Whatever.
Half my shirts at home anyway, like, show my belly, so, like...
Touché.
I literally have to go to Frenchie's. Like, I'm running out of clothes here.
Touche, Fouché.
Yeah.
Well done. I think I'd go booty shorts.
Oh, God.
It's only a summer thing. You wouldn't have to wear them in the winter, of course.
Booty.
What, are you going shirts?
I'm definitely going shirts. Yeah.
Right on the booty shorts, baby.
All right. Well, this was fun to have the band back together. Are you going to be here next week? Or you don't know? Flip a coin.
Hey, you know what?
The season finale is two weeks away.
I'm liking the... I don't even understand how this podcast is still going this long after a hockey season. So, yeah, we'll see.
Because we had the third overall pick.
Okay, that was last week. What are you going to talk about for 3 weeks?
No, two more shows left.
What are you talking about for two more weeks?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
I may have one guest for the season finale. I may have one guest lined up.
You got to learn how seasons work. Let's hang it up.
All right. That's it. We will see you guys next week.
Roads to Sea Tours, offering a one-of-a-kind experience in the province of New Brunswick. Their coastal tour is a one-of-a-kind tour in Canada, where guests experience the dramatic rise and fall of the world's highest tides in the Bay of Fundy. You can reach them online at roads2c.com or toll-free at 1-877-850-7623.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Moncton Wildcast.